Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is right behind Numbers and out of the NIV. We'll be reading, so if you can turn to page 121, just a few verses. Amen. This is very appropriate. I don't know if it's appropriate for you, but it's appropriate for me. Amen. So if y'all don't get no amens, I've already said amen. Amen. Sometimes you gotta just preach to an audience of one. Well, in this case, an audience of two, God and myself. Amen. But I pray that you would bear witness. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 out of the NIV. Are you there? Amen. If you're able, would you stand with us? Just be going to read these three verses, verses 6 through 8 out of the NIV. Let's read together. Amen. Start out with verse 6. The Lord our God said to us, we're at Horeb. You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring places in the Arava, yeah, and the mountains in the western foothills, in the Negev, and along the coast to the land of the Canaanites, and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates. See, I've given you this land. Mm-hmm. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them. Amen. Amen. Just help me by turning to your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
We got to get out of
the
state called stuff.
The state called stuff.
We got to get out of this state. Yeah, that's the 51st state. Okay, it was 50 states, then it's 51. And we got to get out of the state called stuff. I need your prayers. Amen, I need your prayers. Perhaps one of the most discouraging experiences one can face is that of being denied upward mobility and advancement in the journey of life. To be held back, detained, or put on hold because our failure to apply ourselves and take seriously the task, the challenge, or the opportunity given to us eats away at our worth as human beings. After all, we tend to value our worth by our achievements, by our accomplishments, and our successes, which, amen, we have enhanced our status and social standing among our friends, our foes, as well as our family. The greater our progression up the ladder towards mobility, the greater we tend to value our worth. Are you with me?
Amen.
But then there are times when we just flunk the test.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. When we fail to complete a task or fail to apply ourselves, and as a consequence, we often are held back and we're often denied advancement. Do I got at least one witness here today?
Yeah.
Let me put it this way. Sometimes we just get stuck. Sometimes we get stuck in comfort, and at other times we get stuck in crisis, but all of us get stuck sometimes. Are there any people here honest enough to at least admit that? Is there anybody here honest enough to say, yeah, Reverend, that's me, I'm stuck right now? There are times in all of our lives where we are uncertain as to what to do, where we ought to go, and how we ought to move forward to achieve the goal that God has already set before us. And often our challenges are so great that we find ourselves living in some glorified version of our past, while neglecting the opportunity of our present, or preparing for the potential of an unforeseen future by the grace of God.
Amen.
God in grace, y'all, is always calling us forward toward our destination, or toward our destiny. And if we are not careful, we can miss the promise that awaits us because we are still anchored to the place that once held us. No matter where we are or what we have achieved, please know that there is still a greater place, a greater space, and a greater opportunity before you than there is behind you. Would you just tap your neighbor and say, greater, neighbor?
Greater.
But if we're going to advance or progress or possess what God has for
us, it will require some courageous steps from us to reposition us from where we are to where we're supposed to be. Now, this is a cause of both care and caution, because our past pains can so paralyze us that we will fail to take the necessary steps for us to march into the future that God has already prepared for us. If we're not cautious and courageous, it is easy to end up living in that 51st state, that state called stuff. Is there anybody here who knows what it feels like to be stuck? Where you're unable to act, too muddled to move, and powerless to proceed. Stuck where you're stuck in a spot where progress procrastinates and elevation has been abandoned because of your situation. Does anybody know what it feels like?
Yes.
To be the hamster on the wheel. You running, but you ain't going nowhere. I know you can't say anything out loud because you don't want everybody here to think that you know, it's okay. You want them to think you've been doing okay and always been okay. And you ain't never been had to struggle. You've always been advancing and knowing about going forward and not going back. I know that's you. But for those of us who are trying to live a real life, can I talk to y'all about it? Stuck is a terrible place to be. And if it's terrible to be stuck, then it's a tragedy to be stuck and don't even know you stuck. See, in a state of stuck, we not only question and doubt ourselves, we question and doubt others. And we don't even stop there. We begin to question and doubt God. When we're stuck, it's difficult to believe that God has designed a plan just for us, just for our lives, or He even has a blessing with our name on it. In the state of stuck, no matter how often God blesses us in grace or elevates us in favor, we are still burdened by the hindrances that prevent us from what God has in store for us. Does anybody here know what it still feels like to be stuck? Because if you do, then you can identify with our text on today. It had been 40 years since God had brought the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And yet, the experience was still vivid and clear in the mind of Moses. And here in the opening sentences of the book of Deuteronomy, we have one of several farewell sermons as he stands on the border of the promised land with the goal in sight, but not yet reached. Please don't miss that. Somebody ought to write that down. They had conquered some of it, but not all of it. Isn't that an accurate description of most of our lives? All of us are tied together by the reality that we have conquered some of the challenges that God has already put before us, but not all of them. So you might as well nudge your neighbors. Ain't no need to lie. I ain't even gonna try to lie. That's me. I ain't even gonna try. I done conquered some of them. Every one of us has some stuff in our lives that we have yet to conquer. Amen. It is part of your promise, but not yet part of your possession.
Yes, right.
And therefore, Moses stood to remind the people of the grace, the guidance, and the goodness of God. He called them to remember that God had brought them from a mighty long way. And here they stood on the boundary between where they were and where they were destined to be. And here they stood with possibilities, with problems, and with promises. And just as God had been good to them, I want to remind you that God has been good to us. Amen. Come on, just give me one amen. Good amen right there. Not only has God been good, God is good to each and every one of us. Amen. Just like them, we stand in this moment right now with possibilities, with problems, showed up problems, and promises. promises out in front of us. And the text reiterates the failure, though, of hindered progress. This is a report of the journey inspired, the journey that was led and shaped by the command of God and the response of the people of God. It is a journey that should only have taken 11 days. But instead, it took them 40 years. Can I pull up on your curtain and tell somebody that this is the tragedy of unbelief? An 11-day trip took 40 years because they didn't believe. I'll just say, man, but you just gotta believe that God can do all things. What hell? Yet they did not make this journey from pain to promise alone. In the midst of their pain, in the midst of their promise, and in the midst of their progress, they were always in the presence of Almighty God. Both their progress and their provisions were given by the power of Almighty God. And hear me when I say this, that even their wandering in the wilderness took place under the guidance of Almighty God. Now that's chapter material for somebody on your road. Because as you look back on your journey, the way has not always been straight. The path has not always been easy. There have been mistakes, there have been detours, and there have been setbacks, but you are warming the seat at Second Baptist today, because even when you were wandering, God was right by your side. Even when you were struggling, God was right there. Even in the midst of the disappointment, God was right in the center. And so you can sing, great is your mercy. What has or has not happened, one thing you can shout about is the reality that God has been with you every day. Every step of the way, God has been good to you. In fact, for most of us here today, God has not only been God good, God has been real good. After exiting Egypt, they arrived in the Sinai Peninsula, a mountain called Horeb. It was there that the laws of God were given and the commandments of God were established. At Horeb, life was easy. At Horeb, life was convenient and it was comfortable. And so while hanging out at Horeb, manna fell fresh from the sky every morning and barbecue quail crawled up on their doorstep. You get my point, though. It was at Horeb that Moses got alien water to flow out of the rock. They had clouds to cover them from the heat by day and a pillar of fire to warm them from the desert wind at night. They were happy hanging out at Horeb until God showed up and told them that it was time for them to move on. Moses remembered and he recorded these words that God said in verse 6. You have circled this mountain long enough. It is time to break camp and to move on. Go to the hill country of the Amorites and to all the neighboring regions. I am giving all this land to you. Now, if I'm going to give it to you, why don't you just go and occupy it? And the first thing that came to me was sometimes you can just stay too long. Sometimes you can just wait too long. Sometimes you can procrastinating too long. Sometimes you can ignore a situation. Come on, I'm talking about you. Put your faith in me. I can just procrastinate too long. I can hold the grudge too long. I can pretend not to see what God knows He wants me to see too long. Sometimes I can stay stuck. Dr. Anita Rooms wrote that when your disappointment becomes your dwelling place, when heartache becomes your home, when setback becomes your excuse, when detour becomes your destiny, and your place of rest has become permanent dwelling place, you stay too long. You know, that's like meeting a woman who claims to be overweight because she had a baby. That's not the bad part. The baby is the point is the baby is 21 years old now. That excuse is old and it's been used too long. That's just like the brother got the belly hanging over his belt. Because he used to work out, but he ain't been working out, and it's been 30 years since he last worked out. I mean, you know, I can't do it. Israel was stuck. And they were stuck in a place of comfort. Yes, it's possible to be stuck in a place of comfort, to be stuck being comfortable when you should be challenged. Although we aspire to do good, and we do, sometimes the worst thing about achieving anything is that we begin to believe that this is as good as it gets. And we get satisfied too soon. The worst enemy facing the church today is what I like to call the dictatorship of the routine. That whenever we become satisfied with where we already are and what we already have, there is no room for God to move in the spirit and the power to grow us into what God would want us to be. Saints, God is always calling us to function and to operate at a higher level. And in a greater way. But comfort and convenience is seducing us to settle for where we are. Can I just talk to you straight up today? I want to tell you that too many of us have settled in Horeb when our destiny is in Canaan. Yeah, God gives us all we need to have in the Horeb experience. But Horeb is the place of building. Horeb is the place where we learn. Horeb is the place where we're instructed. It is a period of pause. We pause to prepare for what God wants to do in us. It is not the end of what God has for us. I'm here today to tell you that God does have more. It is a transition from the life that we used to live to the life that God has yet to reveal to us, the life that God has in store for us. And no matter how enjoyable it is at Horeb, don't get stuck there. Because the purpose of the comfort is to get you ready for the next challenge. Your destiny ain't what you already have. Your destiny is what is yet out in front of you. It is not where you are, but it's where God is trying to take you. What you learn at home is meant for the next level in your life. I'm here today to be a living witness that the God that I serve, the God that we serve, is always calling us to stretch and to grow and to go to a higher level. The law that they received at Horeb, the covenant that they received at Horeb, was not for now. It was for later. The laws that they were receiving were for where they were going and would never be fulfilled as long as they remained right where they were. And I'm preaching about 5 or 6 of y'all right now. You've been circling horror for a long time. And you stayed there because it's comfortable, man. You're not stretched and you're not extended. You just chilling. Like a villain. You relaxing and relaxing. But God sent you here this morning so that I can get on your nerves and the unction of the Holy Spirit and tell you that it's time to get yourself and your things together and to step out of the state of stuff and go to where God is trying to get you to go. I know it's scary because we know where we are. Amen. But we can't imagine where we're headed. I understand your apprehension. Because with any journey, there are dangers. With any journey, there are risks. But you can't let the prospect of danger deter you from your divine destination. Let me see if I can help you. How many of y'all remember from your childhood the story of the Little Red Riding Hood? Hey, man, y'all know that little famous fairy tale about that young girl and that big old bad hairy wolf? Amen. And her only objective was to get to her sick grandmama's house, amen, and bring her grandmama some food. And every day, every step of the way, that old mean wolf kept stalking her. Amen. Now, any inquisitive three-year-old, when they would hear this story, they would always ask, well, why was the wolf trying to get her? She wasn't bothering the wolf. Was she? Why didn't the wolf just leave her alone? And any parent would respond, well, man, that's just how the story goes. And somebody here needs to get that in your spirit. That if you're going to get out of the state called stuff, that's just how the story goes. There are going to be some setbacks. There are going to be some adversaries. There's going to be some enemies. There's going to be some challenges. But you would you just let your neighbor know, you from the potential windfall. That's just how the story goes. It's by stepping out of stuff that you can get to your success. It's by coming out of horror that you can enter your Canaan. That's just how the story goes. But just before both of us said, to make the decision to move from where we are to the place that God has prepared for us, as a child of God, we are operating in places and occupying spaces where we don't belong. You don't belong in continuous dysfunction. You don't belong in constant chaos. You don't belong in a place where there's nothing but frustration. Or a place of anger and jealousy and bitterness and selfishness. You don't belong there. Because God has already commissioned that you move, and God has already decided how it's going to happen. All you need to do is develop enough courage to step out and enter the place that God has already prepared for you. But most of the time we struggle because we have not fully embraced who God wants us to be and what God wants us to have. Amen. And therefore, when God brings his purpose and promise and plan directly into our lives, we feel like we got to examine it first. We got to look at it and see, is this really a God? We gotta pull out the old microscope, right? We gotta pull out the magnifying glass. We gotta examine it and ask God, God, is this you? Let me know if it's really you, God. Can you work this thing out before I gotta do anything? Come on, y'all. Am I by myself? I'm being honest today. And when we look around and see other people achieving and other people moving forward in their lives, why we look at ourselves and see that we're in the same place, because we refuse to move when God says move and how God says move and where God says move. I want to challenge us today. How about that?
Yes,
sir. God won't have you to move unless God has already determined where he wants you to go. And if God tells you to move, then God has already prepared a place just for you. I just wonder if there's anybody here who can trust God enough to step out of your comfort zone, to step out of your hurt, to step out of your struggle, to step out of your pain, and to step into a place where God wants you to be. Oh, if Martin Lawrence was here, he'd tell you, get the stuff in your mouth. I just want, if that's you, I want you to get the stuff in. Step out of that place of pain. Step out of that place where you're constantly hurt. Step out of that place where you're constantly indecisive and indecision. Step into that place where God wants you to be. I know it's a challenge, but if there's anybody here who's at that point where you can say to God, God, I have to admit, I don't see the whole plan. I don't know all the details, and I don't know how you're going to do what you promised you would do. God, I have not quite figured it out yet, but I know that if I haven't figured it out, at least I got your word. And as long as I got your word, then I'm going to do whatever you tell me. Are you going to trust God enough to take him at his word?
Yes.
I don't care what you encounter. You can always declare, God, I know you with me.
Yes.
And as long as I know you with me,
yes,
no weapon that is formed against me.
Come on now.
Step away from stuff. God will open doors that you don't even know are on the horizon. If you step away from stuff, God will make ways that you thought could not be made. If you step away from stuff, you're wondering how it's going to happen, is already in the works to happen. All you got to do is just get the stepping. Well, how do we get out of this state called stuff? I'm glad you asked. Very simple. Three quick points of poem and then we're going to get out of here. I'm going to hang out in this verse 7. You got to break camp. With your past. Break camp in advance. They were in Horeb. They were in Sinai for a long time and God ordered them to break camp and to march toward Canaan land. And I know we've come a long way, but if we're honest, that despite the gains that we've made, we still got to admit that the pull of the past is very significant. That the problems of the past are still present with us today. That the grievances of the past still have gravity in our lives. We got to admit that the anxieties of the past still attract us. So how do we move beyond what we have known and where we've been? You just got to break camp. You can't move forward looking back. That's biblical. Why put your hand to the plow while looking back? You know, God bless her. I love my granddaughter. She thought she was doing something. Drive, ride, pop up, pop up, pop up. She rolled right off. Then you see the sidewalk moving. And I fell off. I said, don't you cry. You should have been looking back. Always look where you're trying to go. Oh, hey man, that's going to be a kind of angle first. You got to break camp. You got to see yourself in the future.
Yes.
Amen. But they couldn't because they were stuck in the past. And God is calling us not to a future, but to a place of anointing in the future. Amen. Amen. The only way we're going to be able to do what we need to do is under the anointing. We can't go in our power. Amen. If we want to move into places where God needs his church to be, we got to go under the anointing. But before that can happen, we got to break in. All right, that's point number one. Number two out of verse 7 says, not only do we got to break camp, but we got to move out of faith. Break camp and advance to the hill country. Now, there are three things that I need to bring to your attention about that land. That was a land that was promised. That was a land that was given. And that was a land that should have been taken. Okay, you still with me? The land was promised. That means that there was history to that transaction and that it arose out of the purpose and the promise of Almighty God. It was not an accident that God had in his heart what he was doing for Israel. God had given them that land, which meant that Israel could not receive it as though they earned it. It was a gift. Not only was it given, but then it had, like with any gift, you gotta take it. Otherwise, it ain't a gift. They had to take it, which meant that God had already given them the land, but all they had to do was put their hand out and receive it. And what God has for us will always require something for us.
Well,
we gotta receive it. I got a gift for you. It just ain't right here. It's down the road. Guess what I got to do? I got to get down the road and get into a place where I can receive that gift.
Well,
don't mean that I got to talk about going down the road. It don't mean that I got to put in place some plans to get down the road. Don't mean I'm going to try to get better so I can get down the road. You don't mean about talking about doing better. Don't mean about talking about being better or talking about, I'm going to serve, I'm going to serve. I got to get closer to God. I got to go where God is. And God says, go down there. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm going. But God is saying to us today, I don't want to hear you talk. I want to see you do. Break camp with your past. Move out of faith. And my last point is just to take possession. First thing, I've given you this land. I've given it to you. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And to any descendants that came after them. Now this may not be clear to you, but it's clear to me. God is saying to all of us, it's time to move.
Yes.
Well, I want to ask you, what do you think? Go to new places, do new things, engage new people. That's our thing for years. What new things are Christ calling you to? I believe God is calling us to go new places, to do new things, and to engage and reach new people. What is God saying to you? I will be interested to know. I'm crystal clear in what I believe God wants us to do. I am clear on that. I'm not talking about moving into no another building. But I'm talking about moving as a people. Horeb, y'all, is a roadside stop on the highway of holiness. Did you get that? Horeb is the stop. It's not the destination. 2019, and when the Lord has us 112 years into the light of this ministry, is a stop. is not the destination. However many years you are in the Lord ain't the destination. Need to stop. It's a stop. It's not your destination. Right? Come on. If I say the race is not given to the swift or the strong, you can tell me. But to the one that endures. Right? Oh, you can run a good first 100 meters of 26.2 miles. But it's not how you start. It's how you finish. And we're on the journey. I'm hoping to finishing well. I hope each and every one of you finish well. And you can be like Paul and say, well, now it's laid up for me.
Yes.
Horeb is the stop.
Yes.
The experiences that you go through are the stops along the way. But the journey is to go all the way from earth to glory. The journey is to be with the Lord, because you know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's individually, but as a church, the journey is to share the gospel, to build up the saved, and disciple them, and to win the lost in the name of Christ. We are on a journey, and I don't want you to get stopped on the side of a mountain that God did not intend for us to stay at. Man, this thing took a turn. I'm thankful, and this is not even in my notes, I'm thankful for the successes that we've had over almost 10 years. I really am. We've done a lot.
Amen.
We've done a lot. I'm going to pat yourself on the back. But I wouldn't be worth being called your pastor if I didn't encourage you to let you know that God has said there's more in you than what you've already done. Truth be told, somebody praise it off of somebody else's work. How about we all praise off of all of our work collectively? There's a dying world out there.
Yes.
There are so many people who have given up. You want to know why there's such a problem with gun violence? Because people have given up on life. They don't value life. They have no hope. And so what do they? They don't care if they're hurt. I don't hurt somebody else. But all they need to experience is the love of Christ. All they need to know is the love of Jesus and the salvation through His work that he completed upon the cross. Exactly, that's our job. I'm going to say this last thing, and I thank you for hearing me in this pastoral message. The scripture says, and I don't know why it's in the Bible, but it's got to be worth something. We ought to work while it's day. No man will be able to work. Let's celebrate what the Lord has already done.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. But let's go out there and continue to do the work while it's day. So that way when we gather here, the preacher don't got to preach you happy.
Right.
You already. Yes. I don't know, Brent, I'm done when I say this. This is my fourth closing, right? I got like 1.5 more. And there's some things that I have said and I have done that'll live beyond my earthly life here in the history of SBC. But one thing, y'all, I'm telling y'all, it's going to live beyond the life of Jason Harrell at SBC. You're going to have to bring your own fire. You got to. And you know what forms that fire? Everything that you have done through the week. The fire didn't burn you up. You still got a little flame. And you bring it in on Sunday. And God's going to just breathe on that thing and make it more intense so you can go back out there. And somebody will try to put it out. Get out of that state. Get out of that state. Get out of the state. Now, this is my absolute last hope. It's just a scripture verse. The harvest is plenteous. That's what the King James says. There is so much that needs to be harvested. And we acknowledge that. There's a comma there. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Enter. Right? Come on, y'all. Become a part of this labor group. We need your help. The kingdom needs your help. God needs your help. Amen. And I'm done. Just come on, come on. Come on, let's do verse 8. Come on, let's do verse 8.